Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's look at some Talladega bets. Xfinity and Cup Series. We'll start with Cup. As requested in the YouTube comments, hey, can you talk about bets more? We'll play around with this idea when we have a chance. Not sure that we will be able to do it every week. Probably squeeze in a segment or two. This is a unique week to take bets. You know, on a normal week, you might look more into driver props, head-to-heads, team props. I don't really get too interested in that when we look at super speedways because anyone can wreck. It's too much of a coin toss. If I'm going to make a driver prop, I want to feel like I have an edge or an advantage. Although maybe you will. I mean, you'll look at specific data, and I created this sheet to help you out with that. And it simply just ranks the driver's best finishes versus their worst, puts them in order. So you can see Blaney's three Talladega wins and then his worst finishes. And you can compare drivers. So if you did want to look at driver props head-to-head, you could easily see if a guy's got more green at their super speedways and a driver has much more red, one could say, hey, I think this is the driver to pick in a prop bet. That said, I still believe it really comes down to a coin toss, and I'm not really that interested in driver props, especially when super speedways present the opportunity to hit longer odds. Now, chasing long shots, it works, but it works rarely. And I think sometimes we over-exaggerate the underdog's opportunity. Yes, Stenhouse hit big in the Daytona 500 last season. McDowell, two seasons before that. They have happened, but that really odd winner, they are far and few between. And they have been also in the Xfinity Series. But you could also argue recently we have seen some surprises in the Xfinity Series as we pop that up. And that actually might be a better place to chase longer odds. But the books have adjusted. So, you know, a long shot in the Cup Series actually tends to pay more because they don't come through quite as often. The Xfinity Series, sometimes we see that longer guy come through. But the sports books don't give you as juicy or as sexy plus money in those situations. So, too long didn't read. If I were to make bets for these super speedway races, I would probably lean a little bit longer. I may not completely chase some obscure bet, but I'd find a little comfortable balance in between. I don't see much value or opportunity in betting a favorite because they're subject to the same chaos. And when we say chaos, it doesn't just mean wrecking. It can mean the lines forming in a different situation at the end of the race. I keep pointing to last fall's Talladega race. There was chaos in the last 10 laps. Yeah, they wrecked at the very end, at the cross, at the finish line. But the chaos happened before that. You had Alex Bowman leading laps. And then all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. He gets caught in the middle and drops 20 positions. That's chaos. When a driver drops 20 positions in a matter of, I don't know, seconds, that's a form of chaos. It's not cars flying. But with all that being the case, you know, all drivers are subject to that. And, you know, Ryan Blaney has been very successful, as you can see at the screen. But he, too, can be the subject of that chaos just as much as any other driver. And so why would I take him at more favorable or at odds more likely to win? So here we look at the board. Again, like I said, I wouldn't really consider Byron and Blaney and Keselowski. The opportunity, I mean, yeah, they're have high probability of doing well. But there's just an opportunity this week to chase some longer odds. I hope this podcast isn't a complete waste. Trying to do my best to make this thing work can be helpful to you. So let's just start looking at some names. Yeah, Hamlin is good, but 11 plus 1,100, 10 to 1, 11 to 1. I mean, I guess that is a good return, but it's just the allure and the appeal of going a little bit deeper with a driver who, you know, we can go a little bit further. I don't want to go down too deep, although we will talk about those drivers. But is Hamlin that much better than a driver that we might get at 35 to 1? What to what degree is he more likely to win? And I don't think it's that significant. I would rather go down to a 35-1 driver who has a fighting chance and pays much more than Hamlin. Elliott 11-1, streaky driver. We know how that goes. But again, the appeal's down there. I'm not interested in Kyle Busch. Bubba Wallace, we're starting to warm up a little bit, but I still don't think, I really feel like he is that much more likely to win than somebody I can get with better odds. Bell at 16. Then we flip over and look at Bell, and I don't believe Bell has the greatest super speedway numbers. Put it on the screen. Best finish, 5th. 3rd at Daytona. Atlanta, 3rd. Just 4 top 5s. I wouldn't really want to go there. We're getting down lower in the board. Not enough green for me. Flip back over. This is where I start to really think, okay, now maybe we have something. Kyle Larson, he is due. We'll see if it ever comes through. But Chris Buescher seems pretty appealing at 19-1. He does have that Daytona win recently. And if we look at the stats, he shows up pretty strongly on our board of guys who are going to be in there fighting at the end. Where is he at? He's been much better at Daytona, as you can see. So if you want to lean into that, that's fine and say, I don't like Buescher. But he does have, what, these 4 top 10s. Overall, he's demonstrated that he knows how to be there at the end. RFK is run by Brad Keselowski, who has a super speedway affinity. Who else can we explore? Maybe it's time to get stupid. All right, Buescher, Reddick, it's fine. Bowman, 2,200, been knocking on the door for a win. Let's compare. I don't think you really need to look at Talladega versus Daytona, but if we wanted to. Bowman, boy, it's pretty all or nothing here. He's been better at Daytona. Again, I think we just keep chasing deeper. Martin Truex has been awful at super speedway, so 2,200 not very appealing. Stenhouse only at 28-1. That sucks. You know, we want him closer to 40 or 50. Jones, 30-1. Maybe Suarez. I mean, he did just win at Atlanta. And Trackhouse has won a couple super speedway races recently. Let's look and see what Suarez has done at the super speedways. Where are we at? Oh, looks like he's going to be down a little bit lower. How low? Where did I miss him? Not bad at Talladega. Does have the one win, 3 top 5s at the super speedways over the years, 8 top 10s, but it was just, what, 17th? If we're looking at, well, that's in terms of wins, but not the greatest driver on the board. Probably would feel the need to go even further down. Austin Dillon, only 30-1. These are just not really that inviting. At Daytona 500, we get much more sexy odds to chase. Cindric, past Daytona 500 winner, 30-1. Yeah, I mean, the payout's nice, but the likelihood is not there. So I would much rather get something higher. Thinking McDowell, 40-1, maybe you would consider it. He has won that Daytona 500. His super speedway stats are pretty stellar, although his stats are much, much better at Daytona. Again, if you want to read more into that, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's fine as well. It's up to you. We know that Front Row Motorsports, for the last decade and a half, has consistently put out good super speedway cars. He will be in contention at the end. He may be more interesting or appealing to go with his teammate, but then again, his teammate's only giving you 45-1. I'd love to get Gillen a little bit longer than that. But just really are not juicing it up that much to make me that attracted. But this is probably where I would go, this range, where it's not too deep and too crazy. I mean, in a Stuart Haas racing car, Gregson's won at Super Speedway in the Xfinity Series. Why not? Briscoe, why not at 45-1? And if you look at his stats recently, although he doesn't have the win, it's been elusive. But he has been pretty consistent over his last couple races. I know this is just ranking best to worst, but I think his last 3 Talladega races, he has a top 15, so he is surviving. He is there at the end. Why not? I mean, you're getting him at longer odds than Todd Gilliland, so, or well, same. That's interesting. Corey LaJoie at 51 would probably be something I would explore. We know LaJoie has the knack for super speedway racing. He can never quite get that win. Maybe it'll come someday, but he usually has the car to get there. He has the skills to get there. And at 50-1, to have a guy that you can honestly say has a really good chance at being in the top five at the very end, that would be probably my favorite bet to make. Again, a little bit better at Daytona than Talladega, but he does have four top five finishes, nine top tens. He'll be there at the end, 50-1. That would be my favorite pick so far. Priest, also in that category. The one thing I will mention about Priest, I believe he was a much better driver and approach when he was more conservative and cautious with JTG Daugherty. Him and his AJ Allmendinger teammate, their approach was pretty much always the same, in that they would just run around the back of the pack, stay safe, make a push at the end, maybe not go for the win at the end, but they had a much higher survival rate, and he got a lot of top tens and solid finishes. Now he's not really as held back, and his finishes haven't been as good. If he could combine those two approaches of being safe and then really pushing at the end, maybe it would work. But I also worry that what made him an appealing fantasy play in the past was that he didn't really push too much at the end, and he was a safe top 10 driver in fantasy sports. Now he is pushing at the end, and it's not necessarily working out for him, which, you know, downgrades him in fantasy, but elevates him here in sports betting, and you get him at 5,500. Zane Smith, you know, that car looked fast last week. It was fast last week. It was good, and he will have a decent super speedway ride. And I would imagine that, you know, maybe Trackhouse is putting a little bit more back into them, and Spire is doing a little bit more as well. Spire has good super speedway cars. Trackhouse cares about super speedways. Trackhouse would love to get one of their actual drivers in the win category. They love winning races. Wouldn't be surprised to see Zane Smith be pretty good. So 71, that's something I would explore. I don't think that's too crazy. Same thing with Josh Berry, 71, Stuart Haas racing car. I don't think it's too crazy. John Hunter Nemechek, 70-1. Again, not too crazy. His stats have been halfway decent and just regular old equipment in Cup Series at Super Speedways. He knows what he is doing. Legacy Motor Club may not be an elite team, but we do know this former RPM team has always had good runs at Super Speedways. I would expect them to have a quality car, and he's got a chance. You know, at 70-1, I'd say why not? Look, two Talladega races, those were with Front Row Motorsports back in the day, what, 2020 year, two top tens. Daytona. I mean, the stats suggest that he's going to be there at the end. Will Nemechek be aggressive? I would imagine that he will be. I don't expect much from this team this season. And even Jimmy Johnson has said it himself, we're kind of behind this year. We are not where we need to be as an organization. So this is going to be one of their few opportunities to get a win. I expect them to go out there and try to get the win. Team Motors, go get the win. And you're getting some pretty good long odds. So this is definitely the area where I'm going. Then I start to cool off here. I mean, Haley's fine. He does have that odd win. SVG, Gisbergen in a colored car, why not? And then down here, I think you're just, maybe if you want to play around with chaos and top tens, it's fine. Let's look at Xfinity real quick as we wrap up the Fantasy NASCAR podcast. RaceForPrize.com, if you want to get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, you know the story, you know the drill, you know the routine. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Send it over. I really appreciate you guys coming over. Hopefully I'm not completely wasting your time with this bets video. And let's look at the Xfinity odds. As I mentioned before, they're just not really all that appealing. I mean, you got a plus 400 here, which is kind of crazy because if we look at Talladega for Austin Hill, he is the big-time favorite. He hasn't been good at Talladega. So not sure why you'd want to do that. Yeah, he's been good at Super Speedways. AJ Allmendinger, 10-1. Maybe because he has been so prolific at the Super Speedways. And again, you can see AJ's stats. But again, he's not necessarily winning. He's working in DFS. He's getting a lot of top 10s, but he has the one day to win. So 10-1, great. But I would much rather chase deeper. Creed 12-1, no. Herbst 12-1, no. Allgaier, no. I mean, Love probably will have speed again, but he's got to lead all the laps, run all the laps, make it work at 12-1. I would much rather chase deeper odds. Chandler Smith would like more of a payday. Maybe Cole Custer at 15-1. Close that. Keep clicking on that. Not bad. Never won. Not really that great either. I would want longer odds, so I'm not interested there. Kligerman is interesting at 16-1. Pull up Kligerman. And you look at Talladega 366, fourth at Daytona, worth consideration. Still, I think it's the same scenario as the Cup Series. I want to chase deeper odds. But these guys really feel like they are reaches. I think the guys that I would probably highlight are the Jordan Anderson cars, which I think are superior machines for super speedways. As we can see, Anderson with a fifth and a fourth in his equipment. Rhett's Lab, very strong Daytonas in that equipment. Jeb Burton actually has a win in this equipment. And I believe he has a win in a call equipment too, right? Two wins here. So those are something that I might highlight and look into. Maybe you're playing off the Sieg situation. He almost won at Atlanta a couple seasons ago. They always have quality super speedway cars. They're definitely taking a huge step forward. And you can see Sieg has been right there in the mix at Talladega in the past. So Sieg would be someone that I might consider. SVG 30. I know it's a little risky, but you always play colored cars. Same thing with Josh Williams, colored car, Jordan Anderson. As long as it's three real Anderson cars, you're going to want to be careful and make sure that they are absolutely putting three in. I haven't looked into it yet. You'll remember at Atlanta, the third Anderson car was actually a Mike Harmon car. Some people jammed that car in DFS and didn't know that it was a Mike Harmon car. I warned you in my podcast over and over and over early in the week. So it is something we want to make sure that you double check, that all three Jordan Anderson cars are actual Anderson chassis set up by his team. DiBenedetto 35-1. That's very appealing. He's got a truck series win at the Super Speedway. He's almost won Super Speedways in the Cup Series. It's going to be a Sieg car, yes. Clements, 60-1. I could think about it. And I think that's probably the last guy I'll talk about as we wrap up the podcast. Not bad. Tons of experience. Does have a Super Speedway win. I think that was a pretty chaos-based race. Either way, that'll do it here. Thanks for joining me. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Triple Lights, fantastic.